What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come? Why?
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 What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
If the Holy Spirit gives us faith, why do we have to reach out to the community? Hello, welcome to Straight Answers to Awkward Questions on Lutheran Radio UK. Today's question comes from a recent discussion I had about congregational life. In times of falling church attendance, and with many Christians feeling a sort of corporate pressure to bring more members in, which was the general landscape of the discussion, I was asked, with a nod to the radio program, if the Holy Spirit gives us faith, why do we have to reach out to the community? So here goes. I'm George Samietz, a pastor in the ELCE, looking after congregations in Brandon, Coventry and Harlow, and you're listening to Straight Answers to Awkward Questions. I hope you enjoy the program. If the Holy Spirit gives us faith, why do we have to reach out to the community? Thanks for this question. I think that there is a quick answer and longer answers, all of them straight. And if I say something, or maybe don't say something, in my answer that triggers more questions, then please ask them. You can email me at Lutheran Radio UK, and the address is info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The straight quick answer is that in Christianity, God has chosen to work through means, through things of this world, because we are in this world, to reach us and give us life with Him. It isn't a matter of God invisibly acting and just saying almost magically, "Hey presto, you're mine." In fact, just putting it that way implies hearing a voice. And God has chosen predominantly to reveal Himself through His Word, which, once written down, has become authoritative for Christians. To be sure, God is free to do as He wishes and speak to whom He wishes, as is evident on many occasions in the Old Testament and much less so in the New Testament. But the history of God's people is always one of God primarily working through specific people at specific times and places and calling His people to use specific physical things. Think of all the material in the Old Testament relating to sacrifices, the tabernacle, the temple, and the roles of people like priests and prophets, through which God establishes safe access to Himself and His blessings. This is the paradigm of the Bible, which comes into full focus, a completion as it were, in the person of Jesus. He is God's means of our salvation and life with Him. And Jesus instituted certain ways through which people encounter Him, because He said so, not because we necessarily experience Jesus. And these are via His Word, via baptism, via Holy Communion, and via the absolution of sins. None of these just invisibly or magically come to us. They all are the ways or means by which the Holy Spirit brings Jesus to us, so that, united with Jesus, we can live with Jesus to the glory and praise of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Over the centuries since Jesus walked on earth, His followers have disagreed about how important and central these means are, with many Christians saying that God can and does work apart from the Word and sacraments, working spiritually or invisibly, just leading people to follow Him. And this invariably produces changes, as people believe that God is updating His message in some way. Lutherans take the view that for our security in the faith, so that we are not swayed or destabilized into thinking something else about what God has done in Jesus, about God's justification of the ungodly, that the Holy Spirit binds Himself to the Bible, baptism, and Holy Communion, these means, so that people can know where to meet Jesus. These means become contact points, encounter moments, and anchors that keep us looking spiritually outside of ourselves for our salvation, in Christ alone, and for the certainty of our salvation. Our confidence is never found within ourselves, but only in Christ. Thus, the Holy Spirit gives faith in Christ to people, and when we consider our own spiritual journey or those of any other Christian, we will find that the Bible and baptism and Holy Communion have been at work in some way or other. Many Christians minimize this contact and place the focus on themselves and their behavior, actions, and decisions. But in time, I hope that even they will see how central and important those means of grace God has established are in bringing faith to people and to them and helping them stay in the faith. For Lutherans, this importance of means, channels, that God uses to reach us in this world can be seen in the way we teach the Christian faith. If you consider the Augsburg Confession, 1530, which was presented as a defense of the Christian faith as the Reformers understood it, and showing that they were indeed Christian, while disagreeing with some aspects of both Roman Catholicism and the Anabaptist movements, and you can read or download copies from many websites, or contact the ELC Central Office in Cambridge and you'll be sent one, you will see this sequence of explaining Christianity. Article 1 talks about God, and that He is a Trinity. That's our starting point. Article 2 talks about us, and that we are sinners, and there are no excuses. There's no way we can blame someone else, which is the mystery of original sin. Article 3 talks about what God has done in response to us and focuses on the Son of God, truly human and truly God, who has saved us and who sends the Holy Spirit to us. Article 4 talks about what this all means, God and us with our sin and Jesus as our Saviour, and so we hear about justification, that God has saved us by His grace through faith because of Jesus. This is the article on which the Church, Christianity, your faith, your hope, your certainty in Christ stands or falls. Either God has done this or He hasn't. And then comes Article 5, which has variously been called concerning the office of preaching, or concerning the ministry in the Church, or concerning the means of grace, or of the ministry. And this is how the historical Jesus and His salvation meet us today. Article 6, and I'll stop here, the Augsburg Confession has 28 articles, talks about what this daily encounter with Jesus means for us today. And so the article is entitled, Concerning the New Obedience, which I think speaks for itself. So back to Article 5, and we hear, to obtain such faith, God instituted the office of the ministry, that is, provided the gospel and the sacraments. Through these, as through means, He gives the Holy Spirit, who works faith when and where He pleases in those who hear the gospel. And the gospel teaches that we have a gracious God, not by our own merits, but by the merit of Christ, when we believe this. Condemned are the Anabaptists and others who teach that the Holy Spirit comes to us through our own preparations, thoughts, and works without the external word of the gospel. So the context of Christianity isn't magic or invisible leadings, hunches, or feelings, but encounters with words, not just any words, but Bible words and the teachings that come from them, and also with two specific things Jesus commanded be done. Baptism, and Holy Communion, where He meets us personally, not through any washing, but water used with God's name. And not just any bread and wine, but bread and wine used as Jesus instructed. And these means are used by the Holy Spirit to give and sustain faith. God authorizes people to use these means in His name. Hence we have the public ministry, whether they be called pastors, priests, bishops, deacons, and so on. And again, this role is one of bringing the physical spiritual supplies and provisions and actions from God to people, no matter where or when we live. Jesus isn't everywhere like air is everywhere, but like radio signals are everywhere. And you need means to pick up those signals to hear them and respond to them. The means of grace are the ways God has established so that we can meet Jesus and be drawn to him and follow him and live with him. These means of grace are both sources of faith and the guides and protectors of our faith. For to go away from them is to go away from Jesus. Now that is the landscape of Christianity and being a Christian in this world. God uses specific things to reach us, specific people in specific times and specific places. This isn't magic or brainwashing, but exercises of faith, whereby we are led to trust Jesus and what he says. Our question today, if the Holy Spirit gives us faith, why do we have to reach out to the community, might come about from many contexts, but the starting point is that the Holy Spirit uses means to give us faith, and those means have to physically come to people, and by that I mean, someone has to speak, someone has to baptize, and someone has to administer Holy Communion, and someone absolves. These things don't happen magically or invisibly through our feelings. They are physical events in time and space, and thus they involve people. In Romans chapter 10, Paul said that people come to faith through the Word of God, and then he writes, "How then will they, that is people, call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." This good news is medicine for the sick. It has been described as bread for the hungry. In fact, D.T. Niles once said that evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. So a reality about good news is that it is usually shared. It is good after all. But perhaps the question has the context of tiredness or weariness or wondering whether the gospel has any real power, because so many people seem to know about Jesus, but they don't follow him. Churches over the centuries have taught also that everyone needs to get out there and tell people about Jesus. And this often produces guilt and uneasiness and fatigue and inertia when the response is that people don't follow Jesus. Last century in many churches there was a cry that everyone, every Christian, is a minister. And the implication is, go out and save the world. Excuse my cynicism somewhat, but often it seemed to be, get scalps for Jesus, because this was a Christian's only task. Now, I'm not saying in any way that Christians shouldn't share their faith when asked or when they think it is appropriate. But I do think that the idea that every Christian's sole purpose is missionary evangelism, a recipe for guilt and exhaustion. A Christian's sole purpose, if I can put it that way, is to live. Live life to the full, Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10. Live as we are in our relationships and circumstances. Redeem sinners who follow Jesus by regularly worshipping God and by regularly living this new obedience in our day-to-day living, serving the people around us as spouse, parent, child, employee, employer, citizen, someone with authority, and as either a member of a congregation or as a church worker, think pastor, for example. Welcome to the Lutheran teaching on vocation, living as a disciple where God places us, where we stand, living as a disciple of Jesus in our relationships. And that is how God uses us. We are his means to bless the world, or at least the people around us. And as part of that living, we can invite others to come and meet Jesus with us at our congregation or church event, where we want them to gather around God's word and come into contact with water and bread and wine used in Jesus' name. As we live to God's glory, never a perfect life, we are sinners who receive forgiveness after all each day, so we can share Jesus when asked and point to Jesus as our Lord, our friend, our Saviour, our King, the one who is faithful and who will never abandon us. We don't put on plastic smiley faces to follow Jesus. Instead, we live the moments of happiness and sadness, joy and sorrow, success and failure, glory and shame, growing in the trust that God doesn't hate us, zap us to punish us, and will stay with us despite the problems we create and the evil done to us. This living becomes a testimony to Jesus, and people do notice. And that is the primary way God is involved with this world, through his people, serving the world, and testifying to the hope and joy that comes through Jesus. The church is not our creation, nor is our faith, nor is our salvation. These are all gifts from God, so that we may live with him now and forever. Jesus has made the forever secure, so we just have to get on with the now. And that will always involve the means of grace, because these bring Jesus to us. Please don't feel the have to. We have to share Jesus with the world as a burden. It isn't a job that secures your salvation. What we have is life with Jesus because people have used the means of grace with us, and Jesus has come to us and is with us. And this life, this hope, is what we can share as we follow Jesus in this world. It isn't about a program, a formula, a set salesman's pitch. It's just your life following Jesus and the questions and answers you're asked and give. I'll leave this answer now, and I'm expecting that you're thinking many things at the moment. Good. Happy thinking. If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samietz, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.